In this episode, we discuss Hannah Montana the Movie, the terrifying tale of a young girl with two totally different personalities. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. Back. Better than ever. That's me. All right. Here we go.
Wait, where were you?
I was not here during the last show.
Oh, right.
Yeah, remember your British friend?
Our British friends.
I guess we are friends now. He's been in my apartment. We've shared a beer.
Yeah.
We've shared Dragon Ball Evolution.
He probably went to he used your restroom.
Mm-hmm. That's what bonds people together.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't let a stranger just go in there.
Well, how's a stranger dressed?
Strangely.
I don't know, maybe in like a UPS uniform?
No, not that guy.
Okay.
Fuck that guy.
Wow.
So, a little bit of current events, guys. I know, you know, we make a lot of jokes here, but I'm sure people also come to us for, you know, some opinions, some important opinions.
They don't.
The commentary. The whole late night scandal. What do you think?
I think we're pretty late on coming to this.
Yeah, by the time this episode airs, Conan will be off the air and everything will be done.
Everything's sort of shaken down,
as someone who's out of touch would say.
You know, I mean, I will say that obviously.
No, I was hoping you guys were going to explain it to me. But we can talk about it after the show if you'd prefer.
Well, people need something to fill their lives, and so they've latched onto an intra-company argument between two hosts of different television shows.
Yeah. Okay. Tiger Woods, what's the deal there?
I mean, the only way this Conan thing will affect us is maybe if Conan, for some reason, comes back to New York, we can get...
And asks to be on the Flophouse.
I was going to say we can get writer Andre Dubuchet, the one person I know who's involved in that show, to come on the Flophouse.
Oh, maybe. I know a couple people that would work there. Good guys.
I don't know anyone involved in show business.
No, I mean, but you're a games guy.
Well, you know Elliot.
Oh, yeah. Who?
Elliot Kalin.
Right over here.
He's
to
your immediate right.
How you doing?
Oh, with that little, the program he works for? Oh, yeah, that's on TV,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the Emmy-winning program that I work for. That I won an Emmy for.
So we're not going to talk about Tiger Woods. Is there any other current events we should talk about?
These are the least current events. So that 2008 election, guys. What about the way that shook out in the end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuart's still mad at the Florida voters for 2000. So.
Yeah, what was the deal there?
Massive electoral problems.
Uh-oh, yeah. Somebody's iPhone's going crazy.
Yeah, blowing up all over the place. You know who else is blowing up? That Miley Cyrus.
Oh my God, I'm so... What happened to her? What happened? She blew up?
Well,
I knew she had enemies.
She was visiting Northern Ireland, and...
She turned evidence on the mob, and they...
Wait, like the Irish mob or like
guys,
the mafia?
Either one, I don't know.
Guys, I was trying to segue.
Okay, into the
you bought a segue. Dan, it's a fad. It's not. They're not going to reshape cities.
It's
going to
revolutionize
them.
The way we get around.
It's not.
well, time will tell. Time will tell which one of us
time
is right.
Time has told. Time is telling right now.
Speaking of time,
I think it's
spent some time this evening. Talking about movies.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had some dinner, right?
And his is the segue that's going to stick.
That was a good segue.
So we watched the Hannah Montana movie. Now...
I think that was the kind of segue we really needed.
Yeah.
Now, none of us knew that much about Hannah Montana. I think that you
Speak
and
for
I,
yourself.
For some reason, knew slightly more than Stuart. In that we knew that there was...
we knew the basic premise.
Yeah, that there was this bifurcated life...
I think that was in the pitch.
That Miley Cyrus is leading.
It's originally, they went to Disney and they said, we've got this idea for a show. This girl leads a bifurcated life.
Yeah. It was on the poster,
it's
I
called
think.
It's called My Bifurcated Life, and it stars Claire Danes. And
they're like, wait, Claire Danes likes both girls and boys. Sounds awesome.
It stars Claire Danes and Claire Danes in a double role.
Mm-hmm. And it's a remake of Multiplicity.
Are we talking about a are we talking about like a slightly healthier, slightly beefier Claire Danes, or like a really skinny, scary looking Claire Danes?
I don't know.
I don't
maybe
know
both. I don't know what you meant by beefier.
Like, well, more meat on her bones.
I also don't know why we're spending so much time talking about Claire Danes.
Because we don't have a lot of time to talk about Hannah Montana.
At all. No.
Speak for yourself.
So we knew that Hannah Montana, the story was that there's Miley Cyrus, and she leads a double life as pop star Hannah Montana.
It's basically like Spider-Man, except instead of being a nerdy high school student who's also a superhero secretly, she's a kind of goofy high school student, or I guess middle school, I don't even know, who's also a huge pop star secretly.
Yeah. So in this movie,
the only people who know that Hanny Montana and Miley Cyrus are the same person are her father, her best friend, and her manager slash keeper out of troubler.
Speaking of Hanny Montana, I just
want they're Chelsea Handler.
I just want to mention that Stuart and I were at the bar the other night with our friend Kurt, who pronounced it Hannah Montana, and he asked who Hannah Montana was these days. Apparently he thought it was a Menudo situation where they just kept cycling in new Hannah Montana.
No, there's only one Hannah Montana, and her name is Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Shh, don't tell anybody.
I think he was assuming she was Germanic of some kind.
Yeah. Hannah Montana, the Teutonic pop star.
Yeah.
Pop sensation. But, so yeah, her friend knows, her manager knows, and Billy Ray Cyrus, her dad knows.
Her friend Lily, her manager Vanessa Williams, and her dad Billy Ray Cyrus. Yeah.
Her friend Lily, played by Emily Osment, who I'm still convinced was just Haley Joel Osment in a girl's wig.
I have to call shenanigans because that was not Billy Ray Cyrus. Everyone kept calling him Robbie Ray.
His character's name is Robbie Ray Cyrus.
So he played a character in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
This is like Earth 2, but the only difference is that instead of Billy Ray Cyrus, there's Robbie Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, it's Earth Robbie Ray.
So
and his song was like, "Don't put my heart back together because it doesn't hurt."
It was my sticky wicky heart.
Oh, God. Sticky wicky heart.
Don't touch my heart, my sticky wicky heart. Your hand's going to get stuck to my heart.
It sounds actually pretty good.
I don't know about that. Better song.
I don't know about the meter of that. Like the poetry of that is kind of
He's not as good a songwriter as Billy Ray Cyrus. Mm.
But dancing,
better.
Don't get me started.
Better, yeah.
Yeah, on having a pointy soul patch.
Better.
He's the best of that.
He's also 1/4 inch taller, which you wouldn't notice because Billy Ray Cyrus, knowing this, wears shoes with 1/4 inch lifts.
Wow. What an elaborate scheme to compete with this fictional alternative universe we've created.
Yeah, parallel worlds are very competitive with each other.
So, well, anyway, Robbie Ray is very distressed at his daughter's, the way she's behaving.
Yes.
She's become a real pop diva.
Yeah.
And she's losing sight of her friends and her family and what it means to be a modest, humble, God-fearing, straight red state American.
Mm-hmm. And so, to fix this, he knows that what she needs is a good old injection of country.
Country living, right?
Yeah. Rural type. Where, small town.
Like Bob Evans.
Yeah, American where good people values. Live.
Yeah.
Anytown, USA.
And he goes back in time with her to the 80s, to back when every movie had an evil real estate developer, as this film has... A kind of
played to a T by Barry Bostwick.
And by T, you mean temporarily, because he disappears from the film after a certain point.
Yeah.
The overscheduled Barry Bostwick.
This happens with every pseudo-villainous character the film has to offer, because there's also a British tabloid reporter intent on exposing the double life, or exposing the secret that Hannah Montana has. He doesn't know what it is, he just knows she has a secret.
Yeah.
But he disappears for the whole last third of the movie until the very end as well.
His arc does get completed.
That's true. There are a couple different storylines going on here. There's Hannah Montana has to learn to be humble. Hannah Montana is falling in love for the first time with a boy in her hometown.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's looks like a young Mormon.
Billy Ray Cyrus is falling in love with what's her name from The Office. Jan Levinson Gould, Michael Scott's crazy boss / girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Former girlfriend, former boss.
More attractive when she's crazy.
Yes. And
aren't they always though, guys? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Nudge, nudge.
Hey.
fellas. Fellows.
Sits back and lights a cigar.
And also that the town has some open land that an evil real estate developer wants to build a mall on.
Which would be terrible.
Which would be terrible, and the town can't afford the taxes on the land. It's kind of unclear who owns this land.
What was the land called again?
It was called Crowley Meadows.
Okay, for a second I thought it was called Craven Meadows. That was all I could think in my head.
That would be awesome.
The town is called Crowley Corners because I assume it was founded by Aleister Crowley as a free live, free love cult of Thelema. And why the gate posts and above it carved in, do what thou wilt, will shall be the whole of the law, which of course is the first rule of Thelema.
Well, you lost me there for a minute. I was thinking about
mini lecture on the wickedest man in the world.
I was thinking about how great it would be if that town had an Aunt Annie's pretzel. And
so you wish it was more like Penn Station.
Like a Banana Republic.
Mm-hmm. An Orange Julius?
You can get one of those Orange Julius things.
It's weird that they're so anti-mall because in real life, so many of those towns now are just open stretches of road with houses and strip malls dotted around them. You know, they're fighting against having a mall right in the center of town when really urban sprawl is the problem that we have to deal with these days.
It is strange that these people don't understand.
Yeah, why don't they just deal with it through zoning?
Well, that's the thing. You could make zoning rules that you can't build a structure that big. Maybe you can't build a multi-business platform building like that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like no one in Crowley Corners really wants this to happen. So surely, including the mayor, surely they could pass something through.
Or just declare, just eminent. Well, the mayor is, we don't know for sure. He could be in favor of it, but they could just call it eminent domain.
But the mayor hosted a dinner for Hannah Montana.
The mayor obviously just wanted attention and to associate himself with someone popular for the votes. He's corrupt. He's going to get thrown out of office.
But think of all the tax dollars they could generate.
The mayor also is wearing a medal around his neck of the type that Dracula would wear.
Yeah, he earned it by being Dracula, I think.
I kept waiting for the twist in the movie where it turns out the town is full of vampires, or there's an axe murderer.
Like, it'd be like a malign paradigm shift where there'd be like the room would start spinning when she realizes that
there would be
vampires.
A zoom-in push-out on her face.
And then the Crypt Keeper comes in laughing.
Well, Miley, Dyrus!
By the way, an African-American mayor in a town almost entirely lacking in other African Americans. It's the most tolerant small southern town that I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, it's a very tolerant town and very musical.
Yeah.
But I was going to say I was kind of hoping the whole time that the plot of the movie would be that Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus would start to war with each other.
Mm.
Two personalities in one body, one trying to destroy and conquer the other. Something kind of Persona-y in a way about the merging and ambiguity of personality, how easy it is to lose sight of oneself.
Oh, like that movie Identity where everybody's fighting inside John Cusack's brain.
Yeah, that's a shittier version of it, yeah. But it didn't happen like that.
Well, like
Identity, the movie where everything takes place in John Cusack's brain, but when you find out which personality is the killer, they still go back and show you the scenes of that person sneaking away and killing the other identities as if there is a physical reality in his brain. What a dumb movie.
By the way, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert on an 8 or 9 year old movie that nobody liked when it came out. So anyway, Miley, you were saying about Hannah the Montana.
I don't know. She goes to this small town. She learns lessons about love.
Is there any
about herself?
Well,
and
we know
life.
There's a crisis about this
on
whole,
infinite
this,
Earths
on this land. But
are
there
any
other crises?
Oh, and also the
town's
built for an Indian burial ground.
No, that's not part of it.
Oh, God, really?
I wish.
You're reading subtext in the film again. That's not
Dan,
there.
Basically everything in America is built on an Indian burial ground. We killed a lot of Indians.
Yeah.
You have to assume that Crowley Corners is probably...
It's odd. I made that exact same joke in something once. This is the shows that are similar.
Man, why don't you two get a room? Why don't you stop making out with each
know.
Other?
Well, you want to get a room?
Yeah, sure. Where are we going?
I don't know. Vegas.
Yeah, I think sharing rooms is a good idea. It would save us money and loneliness.
The Luxor, I recommend the Luxor. It looks like a giant pyramid.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the elevators travel kind of sideways. It's pretty awesome. So
then it wouldn't be an elevator. It would be a lateral elevator.
I'll explain. I'll draw you a diagram.
Okay, because it's not moving up or not moving
down. No, I'll explain. It'll make more sense when I draw it.
Okay.
So, what's going on with Miley Cyrus and this fella of hers?
Well,
Because there's, I mean, they immediately fall in love and everything's happy ever after,
It's hard for them to tell each other how they feel, especially when she's got this double life that she's keeping secret.
Right.
Also, they've got to finish painting that bird barn.
And they did know each other when...
It's a chicken coop, Elliot.
It's a chicken coop, but it looks... They keep calling it a barn.
Oh.
They don't call it a coop, which I thought was
weird.
Wasn't
paying attention.
They did know each other when Miley was but a wee lass.
Yes, he called her Smiley Miley at the time.
Yeah, which he reminds her of, and that
clearly
lands
clever.
It's a very I liked it was a realistically awkward moment in which he says something that weirds her out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, that rhymes. That's a rhyme.
Oh, it was a subtle reference to Leanne Rimes.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Leanne Rimes, Taylor Swift shows up in the middle of this movie.
She has a cameo, yeah. And Amy Winehouse.
Something. No, Matt, again, you're adding things that would have made the movie more interesting, but we're
and,
not there.
And what's her name?
Tyra
from
Banks.
X-Ray Specs?
No.
Tyra Banks?
Tyra Banks
is in it. One of the signs that Miley Cyrus is getting a little too diva-y is that she and Tyra Banks get into a physical fight over a pair of shoes in a store in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, which Robbie Ray Cyrus refers to as a shoe fight. He says, "You got into a shoe fight?" As if shoe fight is a common phrase one would use every day. I sounded like I was in I was in some sort of game show. It's a common phrase, one you would use every day.
Did you just do a flashback to something we just heard? God damn it, Dan.
You didn't hear the...
So everything gets resolved really neatly right away, right? How does it all...
No, there's complications.
There's complications for reals?
For reals.
Okay, what happens?
Everything gets complicated. It's the kind of thing you can see where the movie's going the entire time. At some point... the boyfriend is going to learn her secret and be unhappy that she kept a secret from him, and they're going to break up, then come back together at some point.
Teenage boys care a lot about like things like that shit.
Yes,
most of the time they're just interested if the girl's pretty or not.
Well,
they're really angry about a secret double life that existed before they had any sort of involvement with each other.
Let's say I'm a 15-year-old guy. I meet a girl I really like a lot. I knew her when we were younger. Now we're back together again. I find out that secretly she is the most famous singer in America and super rich. I'm going to break up with her.
Yeah, that infuriates
you. That sounds
you.
Terrible.
Yep. I would absolutely not try to do something sexual with her to tell people. I wouldn't do that.
No. Well, I think
to brag
that
about
sound
to my
like
buddies.
You at all. Yeah.
No, I would never do that.
Well, let's to dissect the whole Hannah Montana premise for a little bit. I mean, there's a lot that just doesn't make sense. As I said, we don't know anything about the show. We aren't Hannah Montana scholars.
Do they forge a birth certificate?
but But there's several problems. I mean, as you pointed out,
I think they killed
Stewart,
a girl of Hannah Montana's age and took her identity.
That's named Hannah Montana?
Yeah.
Okay. As you pointed out, Stuart, Miley Cyrus's dad is always hanging around Hannah Montana. How is that explained to people?
Bodyguard. Boom. Just came off the tongue.
At the beginning of the film, Hannah Montana can't get into her own concert. Apparently she did not think of giving herself a backstage pass.
Well, it opens with her she's about to do a concert and she's late. Her and her friend try to get in by showing up at the box office and talking to the woman running the box office. And why she doesn't call her dad on the phone and say, like, "Hey, can you let us in the back?" Or
Her phone died.
It did die?
Is that
the explanation?
I'm sure.
Okay. Why she doesn't have a pass, why she doesn't show up as Hannah Montana so that she can just get
why
in.
She didn't introduce herself to a security guard and say, "Hey,
she's got to keep her secret from
security.
That guy was
Robbie
a bumbling
Ray.
Fool.
It's an elaborate shell game.
They should call this movie Duplicity 2, Hannah Montana.
But beyond that, there's
to
no...
ride on the success of Duplicity
the success
1.
Of the hit blockbuster film Duplicity.
Again, I'm sure they assume that anyone who bothered to watch the Hannah Montana movie is familiar with the show and thus doesn't need any explanation.
And they're already on board.
But I would appreciate that, it being a movie, they would reset it to the degree of explaining why on earth she has to lead this double life in the first place.
A man in his early 30s would appreciate if the Hannah Montana movie was a little bit more logical.
Say I'm an 11-year-old girl. I know it's hard to imagine that, Elliot, but do it.
Sounds kind of gross. It's not as hard as you would think.
Say I'm an 11-year-old girl, and I'm going to my first sleepover, and I've never seen the Hannah Montana TV show.
Never seen the Hannah Montana show? You gotta. Oh my god, it's so good.
Well, it's great, because we've got the Hannah Montana movie
right
here.
Let's show you the Hannah Montana movie.
Your parents probably don't let you watch
TV. Wait a
minute.
What the fuck? What's going on? I'm a very sweary 11-year-old girl.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What's happening? Why is this girl leading a double life, rather than just enjoying the fruits of her pop stardom?
I don't want to be friends with you anymore.
Wow. See? See, Hannah Montana is ruining relationships.
Ruining children's lives. Well, fast forward to the end of the movie. Hannah Montana is doing a benefit concert to save Crowley Meadows.
Why doesn't she just... I mean, she's a super pop star. Why doesn't she just pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Well, you know, I guess it could be a tax write-off and everything. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
In order to... She can't live this double life anymore. She can't lie to her family anymore. So she unmasks, which in this case means unwigging, and in front of the whole crowd that's there. Oh,
like,
my God.
Like wigging out?
No. Taking her wig off.
Oh.
And her vest, for some reason.
Well, the vest was too Hannah.
All right.
That's not something that Miley would wear.
Well, when you've been living a double life for so long, you really split off. Like, there are certain signifiers that you just gotta shed.
And that's really one of the things that's most impressive about Miley Cyrus' performance.
She just changed.
She's really two completely different people.
Oh, yeah.
A chameleon.
It's like Andy Serkis.
This is Dead Ringers. This is Jeremy Irons and Dead Ringers.
Yeah, you always know which twin he's playing.
Yeah, you always know which one she's playing, Miley Cyrus or Hannah Montana. And it doesn't have to do with the fact that they have different color hair.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's due to the fact they're just completely different people.
Yeah, two truly different characters.
Like, Hannah Montana is like a kind of crazy, kind of goofy pop star, and Miley Cyrus is like a kind of crazy, kind of goofy, everyday teen.
Mm-hmm. But she lacks the confidence that Hannah Montana has.
Exactly.
Because she's not a world-famous pop star.
Because she's wearing a mask as Hannah Montana, and by mask I mean wig, because her face looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But anyway, she unwigs at the concert and says, I can't live a lie anymore. And
it'd be cooler if she wore a mask, though. That'd be a much cooler pop diva.
It'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah, like a weird, like...
Well, that's more like Lady Gaga there.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Theatricality.
Sounds like Lady Mask.
Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Anyway,
she
does that, and she says, well, now I can't be Hannah Montana anymore, and a little girl who has faith in Hannah Montana says that they will keep her secret for her, and the whole crowd agrees, except for the British paparazzo, who takes a picture of her putting the wig back
reappeared.
On, who has reappeared out of nowhere after having... gotten eaten hot chili and fallen, slipped on walnuts
several
and fallen in the woods.
In the first 30
minutes.
There's a lot of
slapstick pratfalls in this movie, to the point where, like, you expect characters to be paralyzed. and also ferrets running up people's legs and into their pants.
Yeah. Hannah Montana's brother has a ferret, which causes so many shenanigans.
I like ferrets in Beastmaster.
Sure. Well...
Or that the movie A Boy and His Ferret,
that doesn't
mean, by Harlan Ellison.
That doesn't, you know, logically, that doesn't mean that any film with ferrets is enjoyable. Though,
wrong.
Stewart.
Every movie.
Oh, ferrets. Okay. Thanks for explaining that to me, Dan. That makes a lot more sense now.
See, I'm more of a Beastmaster 2 Through the Portal of Time guy. But anyway, that's me. The paparazzo takes a picture. Everyone chases him. They convince him to not give it away to the tabloid magazine because his daughters are big fans of Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana goes out and does her show.
He quits his job.
And he quits his job too. So
yeah, Hannah Montana doesn't even bother to give him a job as a publicist.
Print is dead. She knew that he was going to be out on his butt soon anyway.
How is he going to pay to fly his two daughters back to England?
I guess they're living here now.
I mean, I guess they're going to have to. How is he going to pay for their, room and board and stuff? Because, I mean, he just quit his job.
Yeah.
And he was kind of inept at it in the first place, so he probably didn't have that much money.
No, he didn't get any money.
Again, this is a problem that I have with the whole Hannah Montana basic premise. Like, I understand why the paparazzo wants to know this, like, how this would be a big, scoop for him. Like, oh, this pop star actually has this secret identity, and I am breaking the story. However,
and she's all, they'll never guess my secret identity.
She's singing about it.
Yeah.
But
and Jerry O'Connell shows up.
Although most of her songs do feature a lot of allusions to the fact that she's two people.
That's the thing. She sings a lot of songs about how great it is to be a regular girl who's also a pop star. So you'd think that people would put two and two together. Maybe they think it's like a Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen like song story, like
like a Bruce Willis and that Bruno personality he adopts.
Well, but I'm saying that I understand why it's important to like the journalist. I mean, we all saw, you know, how big that that Chris Gaines story was when it broke that he was actually Garth Brooks. But I don't understand why Vanessa Williams is like, your whole career will be ruined
if
the secret comes out.
Chris Gaines is Garth Brooks.
Oh, shattered so many illusions tonight. Man.
Wait, you mean Chris Gaines, who only recorded one album and whose songs are usually performed by Garth Brooks in his stage shows? They're the same guy?
Yep.
Smash Next thing you're going to tell me is that that Richard Bachman's like what? Like Dean Koontz or somebody?
Close. Very close.
Keep looking at the clues, Stuart. Someday you'll decipher it.
Okay, I guess I'll go back to Wikipedia. You guys finish the show.
Stuart is sitting at home cutting pages out of Richard Bachman novels, piecing them together, trying to get the clues.
It has to be in here somewhere.
Everyone encodes their true identity in their work.
Mm-hmm.
All these allusions to Castle Rock.
That's how I learned that Beatrix Potter also wrote the story of O. So anyway, yeah, why would it be such a big deal to her fans that she has a secret identity? I have no idea. I don't know.
There's some things that I just can't explain, Dave.
Why does she but really need a secret identity?
The important thing is, in the end, everything works out.
Yeah.
She needs a secret identity so she could have the best of both worlds, as explained in her first song and opening number, The Best of Both Worlds.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, it does work out because she sings her benefit concert.
Thanks, Aaron, for bringing it back to the music.
There are a lot of songs in this movie, and they're all very generic and bland.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
And she has one, her big song that she sings with her pop about butterflies and flying away that sounds a lot like that...
Landslide.
That Landslide a Coming Down song.
Yeah, by the Fleetwood
the
Mac.
Fleetwood Mac.
The Fleetwood Mac.
How she sees her reflection in a snow-covered hill.
Uh-huh.
That was cocaine.
Really?
Spoiler alert.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Metaphor alert.
I guess I never really cared enough to find out.
So, anywho.
It was kind of like a white winged dove, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she looks like she's about 17.
That's all you care about, Stuart?
No, that's like that the song. The white winged dove. Yeah. It's Edge of 17 by Fleetwood Mac.
Well, yeah, not really. It was just a Stevie Nicks solo song, I think.
No, I'll check it out.
Well, Wikipedia that. And then look up Richard Bachman. Don't really Wikipedia.
So you want me to Wikipedia Witchy Woman?
But there's a lot of songs and they're not very good.
Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
What else is going on in this movie? Not much. It's very... This is a very mainstream, nothing movie that...
Yeah.
It didn't have the craziness that the Bratz movie would occasionally have.
Yeah.
I was a little nervous going in because this is a movie where one person has to live in two worlds and she plays two roles.
It's too close to home.
Well, in part, yes. It was going to make me very nervous. Because I didn't want you guys to find out. I'm not going to keep talking about this because I might give up more than.
No, it's okay. We won't.
I was worried that there was going to be that there wouldn't be a sequence where she has to be both people at the exact same time
in two completely
different places.
If she has two dinners that are both set for the same time.
Right. Yeah.
Two dinners early afternoon dinners.
That you couldn't possibly move for any reason.
Absolutely not.
Well, one was a big lobster dinner with the mayor and her family.
With the Count Mayor.
Count Mayor.
Mayor Dracula.
And the other was at a local restaurant across the street from the mayor's office with her beau.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's crazy. She's going to have to, like, both go to both dinners and at the same time dodge all of her crazy fans.
Yeah. She's going to somehow have to run across that street several
times.
And
change wigs.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps in a supply closet.
It's
kind of
weird. She's got, like, her own personal makeup artist best friend. Like,
yeah.
It's not like she needs that much work. I mean, it's pretty simple. Like, she just puts on a wig and puts on some makeup.
Well, apparently...
And puts on a shorter skirt.
Yeah, well, apparently the makeup is actually fantastic, and we're just not getting it, even through the medium of Blu-ray, because no one can tell Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus are the same person.
She's painting LSD like, so potent that it just goes into the pores of people. It radiates in
waves.
Yeah, look at people.
It's like she's got like Rick Baker doing her effects.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Hannah Montana be tripping then?
No, her face has been, her skin has been laminated.
Oh, okay. I thought that maybe she built up an immunity over the years.
But it's not Iocane powder, Dan.
No, I just thought that maybe, you know, her early concerts were like, you know, 7-hour jam affairs because she was so high. But then later on, she just, you know, the inoffensive pop came in later when she got used to the drugs.
The psychedelia got taken out.
Yeah.
I think after she turned 14.
I'll tell you one thing.
I kind of prefer that, to be honest. I mean, you know, like, it's a little more family friendly.
You like her later works?
Yeah, absolutely.
Later on.
Wait, she had earlier works?
Well, I
said
the show went on for several years, so I guess so.
Is it not still on anymore?
I think that this put a cap on the whole Hannah Montana thing. Maybe
put a
wrong
cap in her act.
Yeah. But
this is the
Miley Cyrus does
this
like
is the exclamation point. Well, what was an amazing.
This
sentence.
Is the X-Files Fight the Future of the series, I guess.
Well, I mean, Miley Cyrus like performs
really
as
good.
Herself now.
Yes. And Billy Connolly's in it.
Well, that was what was the. Or was I thought Fight the Future was the first one.
Yeah, Fight the Future was the first
what's
one.
The what's the second one? Trust No One or something?
It was X-Files, this movie shitty. I don't know. Like,
it's weird they would call it that in the title.
Opinions.
Well, anyway, the movie, I mentioned this while we were watching it. The movie struck me as the kind of movie you would see in like the mid-60s if there was like a pop sensation who had a hit record and some smaller low-budget studio, or maybe even Disney's live-action arm, which it was in this case, decides to build a movie around her where they're like, we need her to sing a certain number of songs, she's got to have some wacky scenes, the characters are going to do pratfalls, it's going to be inoffensive, and we'll make it quickly, and it won't be very good.
And if you have trouble filling time, we'll throw in some additional characters who have bits where, like, an animal might bite them on the ass.
Exactly.
Or, like, there might be like a fart or a bloodhound doing a double take or something. Mm-hmm.
That bloodhound, they kept cutting to it as if, or they cut to it a couple times as if it was going to do a double take, and it never did.
Yeah, I was fucking holding onto the edge of my seat here.
Yeah, and barely did a single take.
I know.
You thought this was a Roger Moore James Bond movie, but then nothing.
Nothing at all. But there was a sequence where a young child, or young man, I guess, gets attacked by an alligator in a swamp.
And it's supposed to be, he's like a zookeeper, even though he's probably about 14 years old.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
But an alligator bites him, and the kids who he's touring around at the zoo are all laughing, and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa! But it's like, no, you are in serious danger.
Yeah. That is a man-eater.
It will probably drown you first. It'll take you underwater and drown you.
At the best case scenario, it rips a chunk of flesh out of your posterior, and you get to a doctor in time that he can stop the bleeding.
Yeah, and possibly do some kind of a butt graft.
And you better hope it's not like, if a Komodo dragon bites you, the bacteria in its mouth will kill you. It's toxic there. You better hope this alligator is not the same problem.
It's not like part Komodo dragon, Elliot.
I'm just saying it's an issue that you might have to think about.
Are you trying to show off how much you know about Komodo dragons?
Yes, I'm just trying to show off how much I know about Komodo dragons.
No, but I mean, like,
the one thing I know about them.
It's like a swamp. I mean, you don't know what's in that water. You get like a staph infection.
True.
You know.
Speaking of which, he seemed to be the only staff member at that zoo. What's the deal?
Whoa!
Segue. That's how you segue into a dead end.
Who staffs that zoo when they're not living down there? When they're living back in LA?
I think the zoo shuts down.
Oh, okay.
And the animals roam free across Tennessee.
Okay, that makes sense. In the great field that will someday become a mall.
Hopefully, we can only hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they win the day. The mall isn't built.
Uh huh. Miley Cyrus sings 3 songs and then drives off in a truck through the crowd.
She gets to kiss her boyfriend.
Does she? I don't even.
Yeah, they kiss behind the.
Oh, okay.
You know, and relatively short. I mean, it's they left a fair amount of space between them.
I mean, like this is. I know that I don't get me wrong, I don't want to hold Miley Cyrus.
You're allowed one kiss. It's a chaste movie.
Whoa, whoa. You're like, you're in another room. You ran back in. You ran back in to immediately just interrupt what I was saying.
I just wanted to defend the innocent act of kissing.
Oh, okay.
There's a fair number
of... I thought you just couldn't resist running into...
to interrupt you?
In the middle of the sentence.
There's a fair number of... there was a fair number of Miley Cyrus, like, shaking her hair in the wind in slow motion shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, wait, this movie was based on a shampoo commercial.
Oh, wait, for real? Which one? Prel?
It was either Prel or what's the one where the women climax while they're washing their hair?
Oh,
Prel.
No, it was like organic.
Herbal essences.
No, it wasn't that one.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't that one.
What's the one where they put it in their hair and it changes color?
Wait, is that the one that's like tingling on one side and not on the other?
That's a different one, but it's not that one either.
Yeah, that's okay. Head and Shoulders.
What's the one, I guess it was a hair coloring thing that Elaine Bennis used to do ads for.
All right, okay, so
it wasn't
the
that
fact that we're talking about
so you
shampoo
were,
commercials.
You wanted to say something about Hannah Montana.
No, I was just going to say, I know, don't get me wrong, I don't want this movie to end with a full Miley Cyrus concert. Sure. However, it does irritate me in movies where they have like a concert or something, and because of the time constraints of it being a movie, they're like, well, we're going to play two songs, and then the concert's over, and there's no like time dash in between. It's just like, well, we saw you come out on stage, and we're seeing you leave, and I want the audience to riot at that point. Like, we paid $500 to come see this Miley Cyrus
concert. It seems like everybody who's at the concert lives in the town.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they care that much about the fucking town, why do they need a Hannah Montana concert for them to pay?
They just donate the money.
Yeah, like, it just doesn't make sense.
I think a lot of those people wanted that mall built.
Yeah.
Oh.
They didn't realize this was a fundraiser, and they felt gypped or tricked afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't. Thank you.
I didn't mean to slur gypsies.
Thank you.
Or Roma, as they prefer.
Romani. That's
oh, like
why
Ray Romani, like Everybody Loves Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like that guy. So, the people were pretty happy though that she only did two songs. They were all cheering as she drove away.
That seemed to be why they were cheering. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were throwing themselves under the wheels of the truck as it was leaving.
I guess they were so angry that she turned out to be a brunette that they just wanted it to be over.
Yeah, brunettes are grosser.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Anyway. No, I disagree too, but for the sake of comedy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then we all agree.
We all agree.
For the sake of
but
comedy.
But I mean, that's the whole point, right? Is that that's the
for
reason
the sake of comedy?
No.
God. For the love of Benji.
It's because of the, like, that's why she's blonde when she's Hannah Montana, right?
Because they have more fun?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And she has bangs.
I think it's that in real life, Miley Cyrus has brown hair. So Hannah Montana just had to have different hair. Should be jet black with like a blue streak in it.
That would be kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm. A DVD of the film Blue Streak. Braided in.
Right in her hair, yeah.
Guys, let's...
I would prefer Black Knight. Is that possible?
As long as Mr. Lawrence is in it, then...
Big Mama's house. They're
pretty
all
pretty much my requirement.
Nothing to lose.
Oh, man.
And
okay, so
Martin
I think we're pretty much done with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, let's put
they
a
made a movie
this.
Of Martin.
Well, they really didn't really. There is a movie called Martin, but it's not based on the TV show.
Movie about a confused boy who thinks he might be a vampire.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go on to Final Judgment. Final Judgment.
Final Judgment. That's what we call it now.
The categories are, as always, was this a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, or a movie that you actually kind of liked? Stuart, what do you have to say about it?
I think I'm going to put it on the line between bad, bad movie and good, bad movie. It was relatively light. It moved quickly. There was a whole bunch of pratfalls, as we've already pointed out.
There was one very genuinely funny piece of physical comedy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I can't.
Involved a plate breaking.
I mean, it's not like it's not great. It's not like, hey, let's watch this and laugh. But
yeah, I also like to joke about a lobster bib.
She's
at a lobster dinner, and she had to like run across to her boyfriend's dinner, and she still had the lobster bib on, and he's like, "Why do you have that?" And she's like, "Because I plan to order lobster." And she does like this huge, like goofy, like hand motion. Then it's kind of funny.
And I think it's funny because she's also wearing a completely different outfit than the one she was wearing that normally had the lobster bib. Like it was some kind of cartoon, and she just threw all the clothes in the air and they landed on her.
I'm surprised they didn't have a thing where people try to get at her and jump at her, and she sneaks out from underneath the pile of people.
Yeah, right.
And they keep, you know, fighting or whatever.
I mean, the closest thing they did to that was she snuck under a table with a tablecloth, and the table's, like, moving through the room, and somebody acknowledges it but doesn't really say anything.
Yeah, someone is like... I think it was the mayor. The mayor has a look on his face like, that's weird that that table's moving, but I guess I won't investigate.
Yeah. So what do you say, Elliot?
I kind of agree with Stuart. I feel like it was one of those things where it was not a particularly good movie, but it was not a painful movie, but we were just not the audience for it. Like, I'm sure this is a good movie for, you know, 13-year-old girls, but
yeah.
For us it just wasn't going to do the job. But it wasn't like 10,000 BC where... we couldn't stand sitting through it, you know.
Where there's no audience for that movie.
No, there isn't.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I
except people who want to hunt Mannix. Or as we call them, mammoths. Spear tooth.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Like, I feel like it kind of falls outside of the categories, because what I would say about it is it's inoffensive. Like, it's
yeah.
It's like you say about the you know, like movies from the 60s. Like, you know, it's appropriate that this is a Disney production, because it feels like it could be like the Million Dollar Duck or something like that. You know?
Is
like
that a movie?
Like Dean Jones could be in it or something. So.
Or like Haley Mills.
Yeah. Know,
It's not a
movie. No, I want to see Dean Jones play Okay. Animal so Oscar.
And Kurt Russell as Miley Cyrus. But it's very inoffensive and not, it's not particularly irritating, but it's not particularly entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not on the same wavelength as it. So I would say don't bother renting it unless you are the age group it is meant for and gender group.
So I have some good letters here. Moving on.
Wait, did he give his?
Yeah,
he just did.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at my phone, I think.
Keep up. So I have some good letters here. First one is titled Wolverine.
I like it already.
And
sure.
I like where it's going.
It's from Jen, last name withheld.
It's from Logan, last name withheld. Hey, bub, it starts.
It says, all the way from Madripoor. Okay.
I was listening to that episode again the other day, and we were talking about Madripoor for a while, and Dan said, let's not talk about this anymore.
Yeah. As I said, it's from Jen, last name withheld. Jen is a long-time listener.
First-time writer.
A big supporter. No, she's written before, I
think. Oh, well, that's very nice. Thanks for supporting us.
She says, so how many emails did you get from female comic book readers after the last episode? I'm guessing at least a couple, because there's probably quite a bit of overlap between that population and your female listeners. Or maybe it's just me and I'm a freak after all. Now, we actually didn't get any letters. This is either because we're not popular enough to get outraged letters.
Check.
Or because... our listeners, we do have
a translate a transcript that goes.
Yeah,
out.
If you want a transcript, please write to P.O. Box 805 Flop.
I forget where the joke comes from, but somewhere they joke. If you want a transcript of this program, watch it again and type very fast or something like that.
No, but we're also lucky enough to have listeners who I think understand that 90% of the sexism on the show is a put-on, and the other 10% comes from Stuart.
But only 10% for real?
Continuing, she
gotta
says...
You get your numbers up.
I know.
She says she can also answer everyone's questions about Gambit. You all don't see his appeal because none of you were once a 13-year-old girl reading X-Men. The dark, dangerous anti-hero
that.
With the crazy Cajun accent? Yeah, total girl bait. I happen to know I was not the only grown-up straight girl comic reader interested in seeing the Wolverine movie pretty much just to see how Gambit would appear in real-life form. Weren't we disappointed? And she asks, any plans to watch Powder Blue? I hear it's got Jessica Biel as a stripper, and Forrest Whitaker as a priest, and Kris Kristofferson. I don't know what he's supposed to be, but the fact he's there is crazy enough. Happy belated congrats on 50 episodes. We did discuss Powder Blue at the time, but I guess we decided that...
It sounds like it's just a very turgid, not enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
So, I'll just watch it by myself with the fast-forward button handy.
Or you can just go on the internet.
Most of the movie.
Well, I can use... I can jump scenes. Uh-huh. Blu-rays let you do that, Elliot.
Or again, the internet.
Yeah, and also the...
What do I use the internet for?
For pornography.
Oh, okay. Wait, and this is a porno movie?
No, but Jessica Biel has no clothes on at one point.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I'll, it's
don't
it's,
no more spoilers. It's good.
I believe he was gonna spoil it by saying it was a direct to DVD film.
It was a direct DVD film, so it kind of falls outside of our thing usually. But also like
our purview.
But also it our perv view in this case, because also the Jessica Biel scenes are not. It's almost they're such a disappointment, you know.
Yeah, I
was she going to the bathroom or something?
It's
I got gotcha. Rock.
Zinged
you! Yeah, got me. You did zing.
Okay, let's move on. Do we have other letters?
Yeah, this one is titled "Oh Dan," and I have to say,
it sounds like you wrote it.
I have to say, this is neither the first email I've gotten that has been titled "Oh Dan," nor is it the first conversation I've had that has started with someone going, "Oh Dan." But anyway, it's from Ashley, last name withheld.
A lot of and girls it says,
Flophouse ladies.
Dan, I cannot abide this any longer. Elliot and Stuart have received flattering bordering on creepy pieces of fan mail, which have clearly had a negative effect on your self-esteem. The least popular flopper, you say? Not so, I say. Although I certainly can't resist Elliot's impressive intellect and Stuart's raw masculinity and reportedly large penis.
I'd still rather have those than the intellect.
I'd have to admit that you're my number one Flophouse crush. You're the mastermind, the organizer, the ideas man.
The Cyclops.
You're sensitive, pensive.
The Leonardo.
With a dry wit. All this plus those gentlemanly good looks and pleasingly low voice. Sigh. Please don't feel inferior to your fellow floppers, Dan. I'm sure I'm not the only listener whose heart you wormed your way into.
And with you, she doesn't have to worry about you, like, messing around
signed
or treating
Dan.
Her bad.
Guys,
that's true, because, yeah, you're the guy, yeah, I mean, she's done having fun with us. It's time to settle down. Yeah.
Sure.
That
someone with a round face.
That was a very nice letter.
Guys, I think I've fallen for Ashley, last name withheld.
Oh, no.
Okay, should I tell Lulu that you're going to be leaving?
Yeah, that's not where I thought you were going to go with that. I thought you were going to mention my wife.
Oh, well, you talk to the
You're camera. Married?
That's who that is?
You got to get this Angela girl out of your life. Ashley. This is... Oh, Ashley, I mean.
Wait, who's Angela?
I got to go.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe Sarah and Ashley and, heck, Angela, too. Maybe we can all work something out, you know? Maybe.
Wow, that's the type of joke I'd make, dude.
Yeah.
Some sort of...
You're cutting into Stewart's sexism right now.
Yeah, dude.
There.
It's not sexism.
That's why I'm down to 10%.
Why is it sexism? We haven't asked Ashley and the fictitious Angela what they think of the relationship.
Yeah, dude, you're just trying to talk them into doing what their bodies want. Maybe do like some back rubs
sure.
as a team.
They might
and then
be into it.
Back rubs
who knows?
Turn into some other kind of heavy petting. I'll write up a whole like scenario.
We'll write some fiction about it.
It'll be like a D&D adventure, though.
No.
Complete with graph
you'll
paper.
You'll have to
and...
roll dice at every step to see if you get farther.
Absolutely.
On a less gross note, I would like to thank Ashley for taking my bait.
Your boy bait?
For the compliments I was fishing for. And
well, they're long overdue.
Well, but here's the funny thing. The same day I got this email, and
I thought you were pretty handsome.
Thanks.
Yeah, he's a very good-looking man, and
thank
he does
you.
Have a very pleasing voice.
And you're sitting on the floor right now, and that
guys,
does something weird for me.
Guys, I feel like this is going to get into the weird slash fiction area that another reader sent
well,
us.
Well, hey, let's turn off the mics for a little bit and really talk about how we feel.
No, but
we'll leave them on.
I want to say that the same day I got that email from Ashley, I saw that some people were coming to the blog or from another podcast.
Okay.
Called the Hot Cakes Podcast. And the show notes, I saw the Flophouse had been mentioned in one of the episodes. And I'm like, huh, I'll listen to this. And I like listen through, and it gets to the Flophouse being mentioned.
Very
and
nice.
these gentlemen, these hosts, are so nice about the show, very complimentary. They say that like one of them was recommending it together, and he says, I find it like extremely pleasurable, it's very funny. And he mentions... He's just like, oh, you know, it's you know, there's hosted by these three guys. There's Elliot Kalin. He writes for the Daily Show. There's this guy Stuart Wellington. He keeps talking about his big balls.
Okay, that's fallacious, but that's okay.
He could not remember my name. He remembered you guys as full names
and what we do.
I'm literally.
Well, I mean, he inaccurately remembers what I do, but that's okay.
I'm literally the only one of the three of us who has been on every show. And he could not remember just one of my names.
Your name comes up at the beginning of every episode, but for some reason, our names seem to come up during episodes.
Yeah.
You know, so.
See, I think the problem is I don't have a hook. Like, he was like, oh, there's a guy, he writes for The Daily Show, that's a big hook. You know, like, genitals guy, that's a big hook. I need something that I can, like, really sink my teeth into. Like a hook.
So I wanted to
present this to you guys. I wanted to present this to you guys and see what you thought my hook should be. And maybe I could start a character. Yeah, you know, well, not a character.
What
I'm
if
not
you're like
put on? I just would like a trait.
What if
that
you're
I
like
can...
the guy who keeps sneezing?
I think that'd be more irritating to listeners than anything.
All right.
Else.
Well, what about...
How about you're the guy who straightens his tie before every joke?
Yeah, again, not something that you can see on the podcast.
What if you're like you dance really well?
Visual.
What about? When you wake up every morning, you say, time to make the donuts.
So the listener to the podcast would just know this about
me. Yeah, well, what if you join, like, the volunteer fire squad?
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I guess that's fair because it's not like you write for The Daily Show on the podcast. It's not like we get to hear that happening. So if we just talked about me doing some of these things...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we don't even have to talk about
it. Maybe you should record it while you're writing, though. Like, would that be really exciting?
It would be very distracting to me.
Oh, okay.
While I'm working. Well, probably to my coworkers.
Who came into the office with... Yeah, Stuart, you could hold the laptop,
And you hold, like, the boom mic. Yeah.
Well, let's see. What could your thing... Maybe, like, you love coffee.
That feels kind of hacky to me.
Okay, well, what if, like, in your spare time, you are, like, a survivalist? You got a militia.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah,
you make your own money and a gold.
Stuff.
Yeah, you love that. You're always talking about how the government's going to collapse.
Wait, hold on.
That's why you're on those lists.
No, I don't say
impressions. You're the guy who does all the impressions.
Yeah. It's a lot of, like, I'm Elliot, this is Stuart, and then Dan comes and goes, well, this is Dan McCoy, that's Jimmy Stewart.
That's a terrible impression.
No, that's good.
No,
like
but
that
was my impression of you doing Jimmy Stewart. My Jimmy Stewart is much better.
Oh.
Or you could be like that guy from the Police Academy movies, the Motormouth guy. Motormouth Jones?
I think
he's
the sound effects guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Michael Winslow.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about his character.
He's not really a Motormouth.
I don't think his character's named Motormouth Jones.
I made that up.
I think you're thinking about the Micro Machines guy.
You could be like the Micro Machines guy and talk really fast.
All right.
Or you could... Well, try it. Try it out.
No, you're not going fast.
Yeah, okay. Give us like the King James Bible all the way through in like a minute.
No, say it more like you had a mustache.
Not like you're talking about tiny cars.
I think this would involve me having the King James Bible memorized is the problem.
Well, that's the first step. Okay. I do like that when they wanted to say, like, our toy is tiny cars... Tiny cars, talking really fast. Of course, it makes perfect sense.
All right, well, guys, these are all great ideas. I think I'm going to sleep on them.
Yeah. We could also do like a little listener contest where they could send in hook ideas.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Since the last listener contest was really successful so far.
Yeah. Well, we do like your friend claimed that he was going to give us some DVDs of Stoll with the DVD commentary. Maybe by mentioning this, we'll guilt him into doing that.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a little bit. I can check up with him.
If listeners write in with ideas for something that will make all of you fall in love with me the way that Ashley last name with hell is falling.
You
in
just
love
gotta
with
be
me.
Yourself, Dan, and you'll find the right girl eventually. Confidence. Maybe even your wife.
I don't know. I've been living with her for a while.
But you need confidence. That's the thing. Girls like guys who like themselves. Right, Stuart?
Or, no, guys who can dance good.
Yeah. Or learn how to dance real good.
Or wear wolf shirts.
Or, yeah.
Like
shirt with
a wolf kill
on
a wolf and like wear it like a shirt.
When we
And the mouth is right over your head, so it looks like you're inside the wolf.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's really good.
What if, like,
good.
You're like, oh, I'm Dan and I'm so sleepy.
Okay.
Dan, who's always sleepy? That's good, too. I like that.
There's something adorable about it.
All right.
You can't win this contest, though, right? Because that'd be unfair.
No, I can't enter. Okay. Or else I would win.
Yeah. Well,
I'd win the grand prize, which is what, Dan?
Well, maybe it'll be a DVD.
Okay.
some kind of a DVD.
Please enter this contest. Give Dan his hook, and you'll possibly win a DVD.
maybe the DVD we watched tonight, right? The Hannah Montana DVD.
Well, I was thinking again of
hopefully a Netflix DVD.
Hopefully,
well,
the Stahl
Netflix
DVD.
Can hold their horses.
Yeah, yeah. The Stahl DVD
Netflix
would be a good
wins?
Prize.
What if Netflix wins?
Netflix
they get their
can't enter.
Wait a minute. How are they going to get their DVD back?
They're just going to have to come get it, man. Stop being so lazy, Netflix.
Okay, oh, so...
So we've talked a long time. I don't know like whether we really have any time for recommendations. I mean, we can do it really fast rather than like getting into like, detail, maybe just run down.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay, I'll recommend a movie I saw a long time ago that's really good called Castle Freak, directed by Stuart Gordon. It's really awesome because this family moves into an Italian castle that they happen to inherit. And little do they know that there's this crazy misshapen freak, a castle freak, living in the basement, who flips out, kills a bunch of people. I think he bites a prostitute's boob off. And then I think he even rips off his own ding-dong in a rage. Totally awesome movie.
Sounds like an fantastic. X-rated end of Rumpelstiltskin.
So
very similar, yeah.
So that's released by Kino, I assume?
Yes, it's Full Moon Pictures.
Oh, okay.
Close.
Very close.
Very close.
Elliot, what do you got?
I have a recommendation that's half recommendation, half plug. I have another film screening coming up for anyone who's in New York. February 3rd, first Wednesday in February at 92 Y Tribeca. We're going to be showing Divorce Italian Style. And if you don't live in the New York area or can't come, I would still recommend you seeing Divorce Italian Style. I rewatched it just recently to review for this screening so I could take my notes on it, and I was reminded what a fun movie it is. So,
I just watched the documentary Bright Leaves by, what's his face? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
The guy did Sherman's March.
Oh, okay. I know who you mean, but I don't remember his name. Oh,
man. This is going to kill me that I can't remember the name.
Harry Leaves.
No. But
Powers Booth.
He's known for making documentaries sort of in the form of kind of personal essays.
Yeah, kind of using his own life to kind of talk about larger subjects.
Right. And also the thing is about a lot of documentaries, either they're polemical in the sense that they have like a specific point that they're trying to make, or they are movies about life that are kind of trying to shoehorn life into more of a traditional narrative often. Whereas... this movie was much more kind of freeform. It follows, you know, his whims wherever they may take him. And that seems like it's, you know, kind of artless, but it takes as much shaping and editing as anything to make it interesting and engaging. And it certainly was that. And so I enjoyed that a lot. And so Bright Leaves is my recommendation.
So, in order of quality or not, we got Castle Freak. Divorce
Italian style.
Yep. And
Divorce Italian style. I was going to try to say it in Italian, but I don't know what that
is. And Bright Leaves.
Mm-hmm. Just Bright Leaves, not Bright Leaves.
No.
In case you're looking it up.
So, guys.
Directed like, by somebody.
I'm gonna have to
you're disparaging any movie that's not Castle Freak.
I'm going to have to cut this short. I have a concert that I have to attend as an audience member and certainly not perform on stage.
Dan, it looks like you have a wig in your hand. No, what's that all about?
No, this is a merkin. Anyway,
it's really long hair for a merkin.
Well, yeah, I like a lot of hair down there.
Bright blonde.
So, for the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
I've been Stuart Wellington.
And I will continue to be Elliot Kalin.
Good night. I apologize for the lack of a table. Theoretically, we're getting a new table at some point.
Sure, sure.
This is kind of cool. I like it. It's kind of like college.
You
need
like
beanbag chairs.
And a poster of Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, or Jim Belushi wearing a college sweater.
Yeah, from Animal
or those, drinking or those people kissing in like Paris.
Yeah.
In rainy Paris.
Oh, that was kind of, you must have been in like a lot of theater kids' rooms.
That shot from Taxi Driver that's not
in a lot of girls' rooms, Stuart.
I was always weirded out by girls' rooms.
Because I was their platonic friend.
you were listening to their troubles?
Girls' rooms always smelled like the Moss Man He-Man figurine.